So reading from the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for the Creative Energy, text number 22.
Sa, I am,
samasta,
jagatam,
sarit,
Atma
Sadvena
Yat
Mridiyate
Bhagavan
Bhagena
Tena
Eva
Me
Drisham
Anuprishtatat
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 Ita
aham
shrak shami
purva
vat
idam
pranata
priya
asau
Soyam
samasta jagatam sarit eka atma.
Soyam samasta jagatam sarit eka atma.
Soyam samasta jagatam sarit eka atma.
Soyam samasta jagatam sarit eka atma.
Sadena yan ridayate bhagavan bhagena.
Sadena yan ridayate bhagavan bhagena.
Tenaiva me drisham anuprishat. Anuprishatat yataham.
Tenaiva me drisham anuprishatat yataham.
Shakyami purvavat idam pranata priyosau.
I am
the Lord.
Samasta Jagatam
of all the universes. Sarit
Eka,
the one friend and philosopher.
Atma,
the super soul.
Sadvena,
by the mode of goodness.
Yat,
one who.
Mridiyate
causes happiness.
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead.
Bhagena,
with six opulences.
Tena,
by him.
Eva,
certainly.
May,
to me.
Drisham,
power of introspection. Anusprishatat,
let him give.
Yata,
as.
Aham,
I.
Shrak shami.
Shrak shami.
I will be able to create.
Purvavat,
as before.
Idam,
this universe.
Pranata,
surrendered.
Priya,
dear.
Asau,
he, the Lord. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful toward me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and He maintains all for their ultimate happiness by His six transcendental opulences. May He be merciful towards me, so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Purport. The Supreme Lord, Purushottam, or Sri Krishna, is the maintainer of all in both the transcendental and material worlds. He is the life and friend of all, because there is eternally natural affection and love between the living beings and the Lord. He is the one friend and well-wisher for all, and he is the one without a second. The Lord maintains all living entities everywhere by his six transcendental opulences, for which he is known as Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma prayed for his mercy so he might be able to create the universal affairs as he did before. Only by the Lord's causeless mercy could he create both material and spiritual personalities like Marichi and Arda respectively. Brahma prayed to the Lord because he is very much dear to the surrendered soul. The surrendered soul knows nothing but the Lord, and therefore the Lord is very affectionate towards him. So yam samasta jagatam sarit ekatma sadvena yam ridyate bhagavan bhagena tenaiva medrisham anuprishatat etaham shakshami purvavaridam pranata priyosau. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and he maintains all for their ultimate happiness. By his six transcendental opulences, may he be merciful towards me so that I, as before, may be empowered with introspection to create. I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Kauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shinvadi Patskatya Desa. Maitreya Muni is answering the questions that Vidura has given him. He asked him about how Lord Krishna creates the universe. And here the Brahma is creating the universe, but he's creating it by the mercy of Krishna. Brahma is known as a secondary creator. A Brahma is also one of our Mahajans, Svayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Vayur, Vyasika, Vyasiki, Vayam. And as one of the Mahajans, he's enlightened as the reality. Here he's praying for Krishna's mercy to create the universe. And we should also know that we, if we want to do something in Krishna consciousness, we also have to pray to Krishna. Here it says, Krishna is the Sarit Satam, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, in the fifth chapter, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shantim Richiti. That he's the ultimate beneficiary of everything, he's the ultimate lord of everything, and he's the friend of everyone. Only by understanding these things can one actually become peaceful. In other words, we're not peaceful because we're in ignorance. Vayam dvitiya binivesitasya ishad abhatasya vipario smriti yanmayatayo buddha abhajetatvam bhaktyaikayesham guru devatatma. And why are we in ignorance? Because we've become a competitor to Krishna. Vayam dvitiya binivesitasya. So abhinivesitasya is the final klesha, or the final misery of material existence. It's when one is absorbed in the material concept of life, and along with the material concept of life come so many anxieties headed by the fear of death and our annihilation. First klesha is avidya, or ignorance, because we don't know how things are, what's actually going on here. Therefore, we accept, when Maya offers it, a false ego. So from avidya comes this false ego, ahamkar, and from the false ego, or avesha, comes raga and dvesha. As soon as we get a false ego, we think we like this, we think we don't like that. The mind will tell us what to like, what not to like. And then we, following the dictations of the mind and the senses, we become absorbed in the bodily concept of life. And this is called abhinivesha. One becomes overwhelmed with anxiety and due to the fact that annihilation is pending. This is called misery, but we didn't come to the material world to be miserable. We come to be happy. But always pursuing us is this bhayam, this fear, due to avidya, duravesha, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesha. We're always in anxiety and fear, bewildered, and so many other undesirable experiences. Vayam dvitiya binivesitasya ashadabhitasya viparyosmriti ishad abhitasya. Instead of realizing that we're Krishna's servants, we become viparyosmriti. Our memory has become just the opposite. We're thinking ourselves to be this body. We're thinking ourselves to be competitors of Krishna. But in Bhagavad Gita, the real fact is revealed that no one is Krishna's competitor. Because most people won't want to hear that they can't compete against Krishna, that categorically, Krishna is supreme. And it doesn't matter how sincere we are, how nice we become, how many friends we have, how much is in the bank, we can't compete against Krishna. Not only we can't compete against Krishna, but every living entity, whether they like it or not, are 100% dependent on Krishna. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that one becomes dependent on Krishna, and if we don't want to become dependent on Krishna, then we're not dependent on Krishna. No, we're always 100% dependent upon Krishna eternally. Even for our forgetfulness, Krishna says, Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto mataksmitir jnanam apoanam cha. Even for our forgetfulness, apoanam cha, we also have to rely upon Krishna. Krishna has to help us forget him. Unless Krishna helped us to forget him, we couldn't do it. So for those who are atheists, they should thank God that he's helped them forget him. They should at least give him that much credit. God is so kind, we don't want to remember him, so he's put us into this forgetfulness. But everyone is praying to Krishna. It is not that only the Hare Krishnas are praying to God, or some religious people are praying to God. Every living entity is praying to God. That prayer to God is known as desire. No one is not desiring, everyone is desiring. And the desire is being noted down by the super soul within the heart. Upadrasta namanta cha bharata bhokta maheshwara paramatmiti chapyuto dehesnin purusha para. There's another person. Sometimes they have these, there's alien movies that there's some alien. But actually there is another person with us. Because for some people there may be many people with them. But there's one spiritual person along with the soul. He's known as Upadrasta. He's the overseer. He sees everything we're doing. He's noting it down. Just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna can understand our desires because he's associating with us and he notes them down. Not that he's doing it, because that's how the material world works, by our desire. It was created because of our desire, and it goes on because of our desire. Krishna says that he's neutral. Nachame tani karmanini bandanti dhananjaya udasinadvar asinam asaktam teshu karmasu. That all this work cannot bind me. What is that work? Here Brahma is creating one universe, but Krishna is actually creating unlimited universes. Sarva bhutani kondeya prakriti yani mamikam kalpa shaye pranastani kalpa dova shijami ham prakriti swam avashtavya vishijami punak punak bhuta gramam ivam kritsnam avasham prakriti yoga vashat. Krishna says, Sarva Bhutani Kunti. At the end of the cosmic creation, all of the entities, everything enters into my nature, and then at the beginning of another creation, everything is sent forth again. Pratatim Swama Vashtavya Vishrinami Punakpuduna. Now this is going on again and again and again. Krishna is creating unlimited universes, trillions and trillions of universes, more universes than there are grains of sand on the beach. So try and imagine how many grains of sand there are on a beach. If anyone wants to do some homework, they can go and try and count and come back next lifetime and tell us. Give us an estimate. But Krishna is not only he creates all these universes, and he actually enters into all of them as the super soul. It's not that he creates some universes and, you know, spend all day on the computer trying to figure out where they are now. And how many did I create? And wow, I made a mistake. I wasn't supposed to create those bunch of universes, but somehow I don't know what to do. You know, everyone makes mistakes. No, Krishna creates so many universes we can't even count them. But not only creates the universes, but he enters into them as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So this is where the theory of the black hole comes from, that everything comes from the black hole. So the black hole is the navel, we'll reveal what the black hole is. It's the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Everything comes from that black hole. And not only he's aware of every universe that he creates, but he enters into every atom in every universe. And, anyway, we can go on. And within him is are all the universes. So think about that for a while. Unlimited universes, Krishna enters into every one of them, and in every atom in every unlimited universe. Obviously, Krishna is not an ordinary person. It would be very difficult for us to do something similar. And in every atom, and especially in the heart of every living entity, he's the upadrasta, he's the overseer. And although unlimited universes are coming, not only he creates them, but ultimately he maintains them. It's easy to create something, but the headache of trying to maintain it is very difficult. All right, I created it. Someone else can take care of it until it falls apart. No, Krishna spends the whole time maintaining it. Just like if you have one temple president here in Cone to maintain the temple, that's considered very wonderful. What to speak if you can have one person maintaining a whole planet? Who can do it? No one can do it. And what to speak of one universe? It's so inconceivable. And Krishna is maintaining unlimited universes. But he doesn't become attached. He doesn't think, I worked so hard creating this thing. All these universes. Now I've spent billions of years, trillions of years maintaining it. Now it's the time for creation. I can't do it. It's just too much. I mean, let's skip this annihilation. Just go on with creation. At least let me save a few universes. I mean, some of them are pretty cute. Can't destroy every universe every time. I mean, I quit. No, without fail. Every single universe that Krishna has created, has been maintaining, he annihilates. Therefore he says, I'm unattached, see, it is no neutral. It is not that Krishna had any interest in creating this world. Let's create a world and throw some conditioned souls in it. Mix them up and see what we come up with. Add a little water and earth and fire and air and ether and my intelligence, false ego, throw in a few souls, mix it up and see what happens. It's not that Krishna had any desire to create the material universe. And the proof is, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, if we accept Krishna as being truthful, he's been doing this since time immemorial. Right on time he creates, he maintains it for a long time, then annihilates it, and it goes on for unlimited universes for all time. So obviously he must be quite detached. Why is it going on? Because the living entities, they desire to go on. And Krishna, he's sitting there neutrally observing the desires of the living entities, and according to what they've done in the past, what they deserve, he's arranging the material energy to fulfill their desires. But if someone desires something sanely, then Krishna becomes quite pleased, and he helps him in every respect. Otherwise, Krishna is neutral. All the crazy desires that we have here to become the Lord of the material nature, Krishna is neutral. Become the best at something in the material world. Become the best butterfly collector. That I'm actually very important in this world because I have the largest collection of butterflies. And other people who have the same mode of nature that I'm under, they also admire me. Yes, you are supreme. You're the supreme butterfly fly collector. Or my team is the best. My football team is the best. Therefore, I am one of its principal devotees, and everyone knows that devotees are even more important than the person they're devoted to, because without my devotional energy, the team would fall apart. It's my devotional energy that keeps everything going on the team. And therefore, my team is the greatest, and because of my devotional energy, I have become the greatest. So many goals we've scored today, and we'll gain more in the future. And everyone's thinking like that. Somehow or another, as Prabhupada said, or they say in English, even the pauper is proud of his penny. The pauper is thinking, everyone's working so hard, and I'm doing nothing. And somehow or another, I'm surviving. Everyone's working so hard to survive, but I'm much more intelligent and renounced. I simply sit here, and people just throw money at me because I'm so nice. Everyone in the material world, from Brahma down to the insect, is thinking that there is something special. And because of that, trying to be special in some way, they're working hard to maintain their position of being special. But the result is everyone unfortunately dies. And at the end, even after struggling so hard, the whole universe gets annihilated. And all our desires, all our dreams, go up in smoke for a few billion years, for some 311 trillion, 40 billion years, and it's all over. And then it starts again, the gun goes off, the big race begins, become God, and everyone loses the race. But Brahma, he's praying that he may do something for Krishna. It is not that it's completely a waste of time in the material world, but there's a purpose behind it, so the living entities can realize eventually that the real purpose is to do something for Krishna. But even to do something for Krishna, it is not that we're independent doers. Adhishtanam tata karata karanam cha pritag vidan vividas cha pritag chesta daivam chaiva panchama. That there are five factors in the accomplishment of any kind of work.
Is there any water in here?
Namely, adhishtanam, the place of action. This body, although we may think it's my body, but we don't exactly what part of the body belongs to us is not exactly clear. If it was our body, how many people think it's their body? Just don't be embarrassed. We think it's our body, but if it was our body, we should be able to control this body. So how many of those who think they're their body think they can control their body? Oh yeah? Well, why don't you become younger? Can you become younger? What's that? What practice are you going to do to become younger? You know some practice to become younger? What about just, all right, you can't become younger, but why don't you stop yourself from growing older? Can you do that? So if you can't stop even the changing of the body, what control do you have over the body? The body that you have now is disappearing one after another. So what control do you have over it? If you wanted to stop it, can you do it? Oh. You think you're in control of the body? We think there's some control because we desire, and there's some coloration between what we're desiring and what's happening, at least to our body. There's something like that. Of course, we may desire that I may eat unlimitedly, or eat twice as much as I can digest. So can anyone do that? Sometimes we want to do it, we'll prove it. I'm not under the laws of nature. I'm going to eat as much as I want. And then rapidly we get the realization, it comes spontaneously, that actually I'm not completely free from the laws of nature. My stomach starts preaching to me that you're still under the laws of nature. Therefore, the place of action, adishtanam tata karata, the doer. So we're also doing something, but generally it's not exactly what we think we're doing. We think we're doing everything. As Prabhupada was speaking to one temple president in Los Angeles, and he explained that there is a world called the spiritual world, and in that spiritual world there is a lotus flower called Goloka Vrindavan. And that planet is so big that all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets could fit into that one planet. And there's unlimited Vaikuntha planets floating in that spiritual sky, and in one small corner of that spiritual sky, practically no one even notices it, there's one little tiny cloud. And in that little tiny cloud that comes and goes, that there are Karna Dakshaya Vishnu who lies down, and from his body comes forth unlimited material universes. And all those universes float just like bubbles on the top of the Karna Dakshaya ocean. Karna ocean. And then Karna Dakshaya Vishnu enters into each one of those universes as Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu. And from his lotus navel comes a lotus flower, which Brahma is born, and in the stem of that lotus flower, he creates, Lord Brahma, unlimited planets and suns and moons and stars, and they all float just like specks of dust in the air. And in one of those planets, it's called the Earth planet, there are so many continents, one of them is called North America. And in North America, there are so many different countries. One of them is called the United States, which has so many states. One of them is called California. And in California, there are so many different cities. One of them is called Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, there are so many different streets. One of them is called La Cienega Boulevard. And in La Cienega Boulevard, there are so many different houses. And one of those houses is the temple. And in the temple, there's one temple president, and he thinks he's controlling everything. So this is called Maya, illusion. That not only we're not controlling the whole cosmic creation or all the spiritual world, nor can we ever even gain control. We can't even gain control even over these temporary bodies that we're getting. All we're doing is, but we're a karta because we're desiring. Therefore, something's happening because of our desire. It's not that our desire is simply going in vain. Nothing's happening. But by Krishna's arrangement, something's happening. We're being placed into different bodies, different species of life, different material circumstances, or by our desire, we can go back to the spiritual world. And then Krishna says, karta, and there's chesta. There's the false ego in the modes of nature which are the causes of different types of activities, endeavors. And then there is the Adi or the Adishvara or the soul, the super soul, who ultimately supervises everything. So the place of action, the body, the soul, the super soul, the endeavor, and Dishanam Tatakarta Karanam, the senses. So without senses, we can't do anything. We need the senses of perception. Body is not sufficient. We may have a very nice body, but if we can't see, hear, or smell, touch, or taste, we can't do anything. So we need the senses, the active senses, the knowledge-acquiring senses, and these together produce activity. So Krishna says, tatraiva satikartaram atmanam kevalam tuyat pashatya kritva buddhiman nasapat. Considering these five factors, is not very intelligent, cannot see things as they are. So intelligence does not mean to manipulate things in the material world. Intelligence means to be able to understand what is my real position. How are things actually going on? Therefore, one whose intelligence is not entangled, who is not bewildered by false ego, though killing this world is not killed, nor is he bound by the fruits of his activities. It's due to this ignorance that we're all bewildered. Of course, ignorance bewilders anyone. But due to this ignorance, we're bewildered, and therefore, we're causing all our problems for ourselves. Because we're imagining ourselves to be someone or something that we're not, and going on in the same blind way, in the same misconceptions, creating the same problems for ourselves life after life, due to this false ego, due to our lack of real intelligence. Therefore, we find ourselves in so many difficulties. So Brahma, he's praying to Krishna, help. Just like we sing to Lord Chaitanya, that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Doya Kora More Tomara Bina Ke Doyalu Jagat Samsare. My dear Lord, I'm in the cycle of birth and death. So how many people here, we all know, we're all in the cycle of birth and death. It's no news to anyone. Of course, we don't like to think about it. But we're in the cycle of birth and death. No one knows where they're going to be 10 minutes from now, really. There's no guarantee 10 minutes from now or 10 seconds from now that we're all going to be here. But my dear Lord, I'm in the cycle of birth and death. Please be merciful to me. And what is my qualification? Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. You've come to deliver the fallen. Well, I guess a lot of people are in line. A lot of people are much more fallen than I am. I guess they'll get your mercy first. No, he says that my claim is first because I'm the most fallen. And what's the proof that I'm most fallen? Just see how puffed up I am. I'm thinking I'm the greatest here, so I must be the most fallen. That anyone who thinks themselves to be great here, they're certainly fallen. Anyone who thinks that they don't need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they're completely fallen. Here it's mentioned surrender. So the first surrender is nirmana moha. Nirmana means not the mind. Since time immemorial, we've been accepting this mental conception of ourselves and thinking I'm very great, very important. I have so many qualifications. I like people who like me because they're nice people. And I don't like people who don't like me, who don't like all my divine qualities, somehow or another, because they're envious. They don't like the divine qualities within me. Therefore, I don't like them. They should be annihilated, and the whole world would be much better for it. So this is called nirmana moha, and it's all due to illusion. We come here for a few moments, and we claim that we're the Lord of all we survey. Lord of all we survey means we claim at least I'm the Lord of this body. And things in relation to this body are mine. And they're very special, especially to me. And I extend it to my family. I have a very nice family. My father is a doctor or a lawyer. Or even if he's a butcher, he's the best butcher on the block. Because there's only one butcher on the block. But he's the best. And my country is very nice. It is a very special country, and special people live in it. And we're human beings. We're male, we're female. All the men are good. All the women are good. Let the men be liberated. Let the women be liberated. So many different misconceptions of life, all based upon this false ego. All due to illusion. We think we're the owners, the proprietors of so many different things. And therefore, we can't surrender. How can I give up all these things? They're so nice. Why should I give them up? God is so greedy, He wants everything. Nirmana Moha, Jita Sangha. And because of this, misconceptions of this being this body and being part of a family, being part of a country, we have so many affections. I love this person. I don't like that person very much. But these affections are all false affections. It's not that affection is false, but it's based upon a false conception. Our loving propensity has simply been distorted and being limited by these false conceptions of directing it simply towards physical bodies and mental conceptions of things. Just like people, they love Mickey Mouse. That's called a mental conception. Oh, I love Mickey Mouse. I'm part of the Mickey Mouse fan club. I have a Mickey Mouse watch. I have my Mickey Mouse ears. But there's no Mickey Mouse. Sorry to tell you. Spoil anyone's... break anyone's childhood dreams and illusions. There is no Mickey Mouse. How can you love something that doesn't exist? But we're doing it. People are doing it. Even the conception of America is just an illusion. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. It may be something called the United States, but people's conception that they love the flag flying, freedom, God bless America, the land of the free and the brave. 99% of the people, they're all cowards. And they're all bound, certainly they're all bound up. They're all slaves of the banks. There's no one's free in America. So it's just all a misconception. And even Germany, where people are very proud that, you know, we're very organized, we have so many great qualities, the whole thing's a mess too. It is all because there are so many people from so many different, you know, with so many mentalities. If it was organized, then why doesn't everyone have the same mentality? In what way is it organized? The roads are there, but what is the value of these roads? So people can go to wherever their mind is dragging them, they can go pull along their car. So if people's minds are not organized, their intelligence is not organized, they don't know where they're going, how can we say it's organized? So the whole material world, we're loving so many conceptions, but they're all just products of imagination. But real love is supposed to be directed towards someone who's lovable. That's Krishna. Unfortunately, we think our dreams and imaginations to be real, and we think Krishna to be a dream and an imagination. Therefore, we're hesitant to give our love to Krishna. And where is your question of surrender? Because of our false affections towards all these different things. Our love is splayed out in a million different directions. Most of it is just imaginary. And on the basis of these false affections, we falsely identify, this belongs to me, this doesn't belong to me. So many different things like that. And therefore it's very difficult to surrender to Krishna. Adhyatma, Nitya, Vinivritta Kama. So one has to cultivate spiritual knowledge. One has to understand what is real, what is not real. And then, Vinivritta Kama, one has to give up material lust. This idea that I'm going to be the enjoyer and the lord. Somehow or another, I'm going to make it in this lifetime and enjoy and control things. in Vritta Kama, Dvandvavi Mukta, then it's possible to get free from our dualities. Oh, now I'm happy, the whole world should rejoice. Now I'm unhappy, now the whole world should be unhappy with me. Let the whole world know I'm happy. All right, Jai, everyone throws up their hands. Jai, he's happy. Finally, the purpose of the world has been fulfilled. Oh, I'm unhappy now. Oh, no. Let's work hard for your happiness. Call the ambulance. Get the doctors together. Why are you unhappy? What can we do to serve you, make you happy? So one can become free from these dualities of happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, because it's all due to some false identification with this body, the subtle mind, and so many other factors. Oh, now my country has become stronger. Now I am stronger. Now my friends have become more successful. Or my parents, now I'm more successful. All false conceptions. If one can tolerate these dualities in material existence and remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, then it's possible to surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna says something and we don't check it out, whether I want to do it, I don't want to do it, whether my friends want me to do it or my friends don't want me to do it, whether it's good for my false ego or bad for my false ego. No, we surrender. We do what Krishna wants us to do. Then one can gradually attain to the spiritual world. If we do what Krishna wants, then the result is that naturally we'll think about Krishna, and by thinking about Krishna, we can be, that's called Krishna consciousness. We can gradually make progress towards Krishna spiritual enlightenment. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati. That's a different one. Krishna prema, nitya siddha Krishna prema, sada kavi noi, sharanadi, shuddha chitte, karyayudoi. That love for Krishna is already there. It is not something that's artificial. Krishna prema, nitya siddha. That everyone is by nature a nitya siddha, an eternally perfect being, because we naturally have love for Krishna. Nitya siddha, Krishna prema, sadhu kavanoi, shravanadi, shravanadi, shuddha chitte. But that can be aroused again within our heart when we hear about Krishna. We can wake up again. It is said that the living entities are just like sleeping relations to Krishna. Krishna saw the living entities fell asleep and now dreaming that they're something that they're not. So Krishna is trying to wake us up. It's simply a question of waking up again. Of course, we have to wake up. We have to want to wake up. Prabhupada said that if someone is asleep, it's very easy to wake them up. But if someone is actually awake, but they're pretending to be asleep, then it's very difficult to wake the person up. The only thing necessary is our desire to wake up. And that desire to wake up is manifest in our desire to hear what reality is. Because if we hear a reality, then we'll wake up. That's why we have classes. That's why Srila Prabhupada has written these books. That's why Srila Vyasadeva has compiled the books. That's why Krishna spoke the books. That's so we can hear and then wake up. We can hear the reality of the situation. And then if we accept it and follow it, then Krishna will in our heart, he'll wake us up. He'll reveal himself and then we'll realize who we actually are. So Brahma, he's a very advanced soul. He understood this. He said he's a surrendered soul. So he wasn't creating the cosmic manifestation out of false ego, for his own out of his own desire. He was doing it as a service to Krishna. And therefore he was certainly expecting that Krishna would give him the intelligence how to do it properly. If something doesn't go right, it's because Krishna is not giving us the intelligence. And Krishna is not giving us the intelligence because neither we deserve the intelligence, nor do we desire it. Therefore, one of our first businesses is to pray to Krishna for the proper intelligence, just like Brahma is doing. Brahma, he has a very responsible task our task may be not so responsible, but if we want to do it right, then we have to pray to Krishna. And it's not that the prayer to Krishna is simply some sentimental prayer. Oh God, please give us our daily chapati. Except on Lord Ramachandra's appearance day. At least give it to us by 6 o'clock. Or give me 3 chapatis or 4. No, we should pray to Krishna for everything, for whatever we're doing, because we can't do anything apart from Krishna. So it is not that it doesn't really matter how I do it. It's all right, as long as the prasadam's on time. I'll do anything. As long as I have a place to sleep, some nice prasadam, I'll do any service. It doesn't matter how I do it. This movement is meant to give us an opportunity to do everything in consciousness of Krishna. That's the purpose of it. It is not simply so we can be far out, different from everyone, an opportunity to do my own thing. No, it's an opportunity so that to learn how whatever we're doing at all times, under all circumstances, how to do it for Krishna, how to be conscious of Krishna, how to be aware, to make progress, to becoming conscious of my own being, and that ultimately includes within it full consciousness, full happiness, unlimited happiness, ever-expanding happiness forever. So that's the purpose. That's why. But we have to pray to Krishna for that intelligence. Of course, it is not simply the prayer to Krishna. As that story I told the last time, that one Christian, he was living in one city, and everyone, they heard that the dam was breaking near the city, and everyone was supposed to evacuate the city before the water flooded, and everyone drowned. But the man was a fanatic Christian, and he said, I'm not going anywhere, because I know the Lord Jesus will save me. But everyone tried to convince him, but he refused to leave. So finally, the dam broke, and the water started to flood the city. So the man just climbed to the top of his roof, and a boat came and said, get in the boat, we'll save you. He said, you're all the devil, go away, you have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know, he's going to come and save me. So finally the water kept on rising up, and he had to go to the chimney. So a helicopter came to save him. He said, get in the helicopter, we'll save you. He said, go away, you're all the devil, you have no faith in the Lord Jesus. We know he's just about to come and save me. So the water kept on rising, and finally he drowned. So he's back in this, he went to the spiritual world, or at least the heavenly planet where Jesus is, and everyone came and they hugged him and embraced him. And then finally Lord Jesus Christ came and hugged him and embraced him. And he said, welcome. And he said, it's very nice. And the man said, it's very nice to be here, but I only have one doubt. He said, I believed in you, that you'd come and save me, but somehow or another you never came and saved me. So Lord Jesus Christ said, what do you mean I never came and saved you? First I sent you all these people to warn you that the dam was breaking. Then I sent you a car to evacuate. Then I sent you a boat. Then I sent you a helicopter. And still you wouldn't take anything, all the help I send you. What can I do? So simply, it's not simply that we want to pray to Krishna, please bring us back to the spiritual world. That is important. That is the Hare Krishna mantra. But at the same time, we want to use our intelligence, do something for Krishna. Find out what Krishna wants us to do, and through the scriptures, learn how to do it in the most Krishna-conscious way possible. Then our prayer will actually have some meaning. As Prabhupada used to say, first deserve and then desire. So it is not that we're simply trying to desire to go back to become Krishna-conscious. We also try to do things that will help us deserve to become Krishna-conscious. So that when we chant Hare Krishna, it'll actually have some real feeling, real seriousness behind it. Not that once a day I sit down and I chant Hare Krishna and the rest of the day I do my thing. As Prabhupada once did, he was talking to some devotees. He was chanting Hare Krishna and then he took his bead bag and threw it on the table and said, "Now I've chanted my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I want." So we shouldn't think like that. We should use our intelligence, try to understand what Krishna wants us to do, try to improve what we're doing in Krishna consciousness, try to make it more pleasing to Krishna, to Krishna's devotees, and especially someone like Prabhupada, the such advanced devotees, and we should study the scriptures to find out how to do that. And ultimately we have to rely upon Krishna within the heart. Unless Krishna enlightens us with knowledge, with realization, we can go on for millions of years trying to use our own intelligence, trying to understand the scriptures, but we won't make any progress. Ultimately, we have to sincerely rely upon Krishna, and the realization we're going for is to understand how there's nothing but Krishna. That everything is Krishna's energy, everyone is Krishna's servant, and that I should become a servant of Krishna's servants. So that's the realization we're going for. So if we're trying for that realization, then Krishna will help. If we try for something else, then we may find it very difficult. We will find it very difficult. So Brahma's praying for that, to be some service to Krishna, to give the living entities an opportunity to come back to the spiritual world. That's why the creation is made. But he's not thinking himself he's going to do it independently. He's relying upon Krishna to help him do it. Not only is he relying upon Krishna to help him do it, but he knows that without Krishna, nothing's going to happen. But he's just, ultimately he's relying upon the mercy of Krishna that he doesn't forget who he actually is and what his real duty is. He doesn't become attached to the illusory conceptions of life and therefore make mistakes in the creation. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Did you say that we enter in contact with the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, we receive the seed of bhakti. But as you explained, Krishna consciousness is already within our heart, and how we can understand that is. In one sense, he said that we receive the seed, but on the other hand, he said that we get that seed from the spiritual master.
That bijam is the rules and regulations by which we can realize who we are. We're already Krishna's servants. But that seed is the rules and regulations by which we can realize it. Brahmande Brahmate Kong Bhagavanti Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latibi. So it's not just Guru, it's Guru and Krishna. By their mercy, that we get the inspiration to what Krishna's desires are and the inspiration to follow. And therefore the bhakti that's within our heart, naturally, should be there, it's reawakened. We already have bhakti, we're just misdirecting it with so many illusory conceptions. But if we follow the process, then the result is that our bhakti will be properly directed towards Krishna again and expanded to everyone without any false attachments. Anything else? Yes. Well, the difference is that Krishna is a lot more special than we are. It's all right to think we're special, but we should recognize that Krishna is a lot more special. Then there won't be any problem. And we have to realize that if I'm special, and Krishna is special, then everyone else is special too. Some of those things are there. We recognize that Krishna and everyone else, and I'm special too. Then we won't feel so special. Who can conclude? Your conclusion. Thank you very much. Krishna's energies are fully under his control. So, if they're fully under his control, how can you conclude that Krishna can't do anything without his energies? They're his energies. And if he doesn't like those energies, he can create a whole bunch of other energies. His unlimited energies. His energies are not in control. Especially, we're not in control. Maybe Radharani is in control, but we're not in control. So even if Krishna can't do anything without his energies, he can do a lot without us, at least. Strange than last year.
Is there something that can bring us back to Krishna without conditions? Because a lot of times we hear, if you chant, so this is all powerful. Still, you have to chant under certain conditions. You have to chant without offenses and all this. And therefore, I have this question, but if the mercy of Krishna is causeless, something that can bring me back to him without conditions, if his mercy is causeless?
No, it's causeless, materially causeless. Materially speaking, it's causeless. There's no material qualification that you may have or any may have that will invoke Krishna's mercy. Janma karma sukritarna labhyate. But there is a qualification. Tatra loyam. The desire to have it. We have the desire to get Krishna's mercy. So with that desire, just like Prabhupada gives the example of one thief, he was stealing from people during a Bhagavad Satsang. He was pickpocketing everyone during the going around. So he attended the Bhagavad Satsang for 7 days because there were a lot of people there and he was making a lot of money. So during the 7 days he was also listening to the talk. And he heard that in Vrindavan there's one boy, he has so many jewels all over his body. He's so wealthy. So the thief thought, well, I'm hardly making anything here. If I go to Vrindavan, I'll make a fortune. I just find that little boy and I'll make a fortune. So he was very anxious. He went to Vrindavan immediately and he looked all over for that little boy with all the jewels all over his body. So he's so anxious to find that little boy that Krishna appeared to him with all the jewels all over his body. So the thief said, ah, finally I found you. Give me those jewels. So Krishna said, well, I can't give them to you because Mother Jasoda will become angry. So the thief said, Mother Jasoda, who cares about Mother Jasoda? Give me those jewels. So there's a big argument going on and Krishna refused to give it to him because Mother Jasoda would be angry. So finally the thief fell in love with Krishna. And he said, well, all right, you can keep your jewels, it's all right. So Krishna said, no, here, take a few jewels. No. So the thief was so anxious to see Krishna that when he went to Vrindavan, Krishna actually appeared before him. So if we somehow or another develop the desire to see Krishna, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. But there is a process by which that desire can be developed. That's the process that the acharyas have given us. So if you can come up with a better process, then try it out. You can follow the Kamsa Sampradaya. He was seeing Krishna everywhere. But that's not recommended. He didn't chant any rounds every day, but somehow or another he got to see Krishna everywhere.